What happens when we're too comfortable with algorithms giving us exactly what we want? From American Public Media, this is Marketplace Tech. I'm Kimberly Adams. On this holiday, we're revisiting a conversation about the many, many ways algorithms shape our digital lives. For example, a music streaming services algorithm that recommends songs similar to music you already like. Those types of algorithms are the focus of NBC News tech correspondent Jacob Ward's book, The Loop: How Technology is Creating a World Without Choices and How to Fight Back. He explained that a lot of behavioral science goes into helping algorithms hack our brains.
The technology that companies are using to figure out what you and I might be interested in next is very much just a pattern recognition system. And if behavioral science has taught us anything, it's that those instinctive decisions that we make tend to fall into patterns. You know, there is a higher, smarter kind of human consciousness that I think we are all really proud of, but it turns out companies are not interested in selling to that consciousness. They would much rather sell to the predictable ancient systems that we're not even aware of.
One of the examples that struck me was this idea that we used to kind of use our life influences and our experience to shape our taste in music, and now an algorithm does it for us.
It was really one of the big shockers for me. I mean, I used to be the kind of person who made mixes for people, and I could tell you everything about this or that band. These days, you know, when somebody asks me, oh, what are you listening to these days? I just say, you know, I have no idea. The Spotify recommendation algorithm has me in its grip. This is one of the lessons of The Loop, is that it's not just that this, you know, technology is stepping in for our critical faculties. It's really, really effective. And the long-term effects of that, I worry, might outweigh the short-term conveniences of it.
Well, how do you push back against that or regulate around it? Because we do live in a capitalist society and people will throw money at things that make money. So then how do you shift that paradigm?
I think that we have to, as a society, grapple with what I think is going to be the biggest question of our day, which is, what is the difference between being addicted to something that is good for you and addicted to something that is bad for you? Well, let's take addictive use of technology. Right now, you have companies that are using extremely specific targeting measures to find people who are most susceptible to things like online simulators of the casino experience. So I think if we can get to a more transparent place where companies who are playing with our unconscious impulses have to share some of the ways that they do the marketing and the analysis and the prediction, well, I think we might arrive at a place where we can see a path toward regulating that as more than just the sort of open-ended Wild West sort of environment we've been operating in until now.
Right, because so many of these algorithms are a black box. And, you know, from the consumer side, you can't necessarily make a legal argument that it's hurting you if you can't see how it's hurting you.
Not only can't you and I look inside the black boxes that are working on us, most of the big companies that deploy these have people in roles of leadership who also can't articulate it. One survey found that not only couldn't the majority of CTOs at major corporations tell you how their big, you know, most important AI systems work, the majority of them also said they didn't really care, right? These systems are so effective and so efficient, and currently there's very little liability for anybody. If anything, if the black box paradigm continues, we could end up in a world in which it will actually not be in the interest of a company to figure out how it works for fear that they might be held liable for it. So something has to change in how these things are regulated and how transparent they are to the rest of us if we really want to get our arms around the kinds of huge society shaping effects I think they're going to have in the coming years.
With all of this sort of negative input when it comes to these algorithms, what actually gives you hope for the future?
I know it all looks grim, but I have to say I'm actually very, very proud of us. I interviewed in the book a member of the House of Lords who was part of creating the Belfast Accords, which ended the violence in Northern Ireland. And he said that it took years for them to even figure out where everybody at the negotiating table was going to sit. And to me, I try to hold that in my mind, that it's not going to happen overnight. It's going to take time to do this. Now, the technology moves fast, and so we have to move fast too. But I think that given enough time and enough people taking it seriously, we're going to look at this problem, and I feel like we are going to solve it.
Jacob Ward is an NBC tech correspondent and author of The Loop: How Technology is Creating a World Without Choices and How to Fight Back. I'm Kimberly Adams, and that's Marketplace Tech. This is APM.
With access to so much information, it's hard to feel like an informed, discerning citizen. That's why on Make Me Smart, which is a podcast from Marketplace, we make it easy for you to stay in the know. Hi, I'm Kai Rizdahl. Every weekday, Kimberly Adams and I unpack the latest from Washington, D.C.
The Senate Minority Leader has announced that he will step down as the Republican leader.
What's happening in AI? I mean, don't buy at the top, but holy cow, artificial intelligence and all the companies related to it are the hot new thing. And we do the numbers.
So as a refresher, inflation is the rate of increase in the prices of things. It's not just sort of things getting more expensive. It's the speed at which things get more expensive.
Because in a world that's constantly changing, we all need to stay smart. Listen to Make Me Smart wherever you get your podcasts.